He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, September 29th, a little better than yesterday version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, yesterday we had an awful day. Gosh darn. The Dow was down 569 points. The NASDAQ really got walloped. It was down 423 points yesterday. One of the worst days in a long, long time. That works out to almost a 3% drop. I think it 2.83% to be exact. Well, today we've got getting about one-fourth, I'm going to say, maybe about one-fourth of what we lost yesterday back. I wouldn't say there's much going on one way or another as I've looked at individual stocks, but we'll call it stabilization and we'll call it somewhat of a rebound from the sell-off yesterday. Right now we've got the Dow up 151. It's at 34,451. 35,000 has now become resistance once again on the Dow. The NASDAQ is up 103 after yesterday's almost 400-point drop. No, it was a 400-point drop. So getting back about one-fourth of what we lost in the NASDAQ yesterday. It's at 14,649. S&P up 23. It's at 4375. Small caps up a quarter of a percent. Crude oil backing off. That's helping because crude is a big part of the inflation formula. Crude's at 74.99. Gold's up 60 cents, 17.38. No reaction to the inflation news out of gold at all. The 10-year has backed off, which I thought it would do. It's back down to 1.50. Got as high as almost 1.6, and Bitcoin is up 273 to 42,197. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. Well, I've seen many days like yesterday during my 21 years in the business. The year 2000 was full of them. You know, after about March of 2000, we had many, many big hits to the NASDAQ until the NASDAQ was down 79% from the high that it set, just over 5,000 in March of 2000. And, of course, it took 10 years, something like that, to finally get back to 5,000. And then from there, we've tripled. You know, we went from 5,000 to 15,000. And yesterday was not a good day for the NASDAQ. The dynamics work like this. We apply a discount rate to the future earnings or future cash flow of a lot of these technology stocks. And when interest rates go up, you see, bonds become a little bit more desirable and stocks become a little bit less desirable. Therefore, the discount rate that we use to value the future cash flows of these stocks goes down a little bit. So I've seen the forward P.E. of the S&P 500. You know, it's gone from about 22 to 21. That's the impact that the rise in interest rates. I'm going to call it 25 basis points. That's about what we've seen. So you can do the math. A quarter of a point rise in interest rates reined in the forward P.E. ratio, which is different from the discounted cash flow rate, but it did rein in the P.E. forward P.E. ratio by 1 point, okay, 100 basis points. So 100 basis points on a quarter point rise, you could see if interest rates were to go up a full percent from here, that could bring the multiple back to the long-term average of about 17. Okay, so we're going to watch that. That seems to be the dynamic at work at play right now. And of course, the higher the multiple of the stocks that you're invested in, the higher multiple of your portfolios that you are invested in, the more vulnerable you are to rising rates. And I did see a chart here today. I'll get to that in a little bit. The Seeking Alpha was showing the inverse correlation between interest rates and Kathy Wood's ARK funds, which really took it on the chin yesterday. While the NASDAQ was down about 2.8%, I think she was down 4.2% because she's in a higher discounted cash flow rate environment and PE, forward PE, than just the regular NASDAQ. She's not in the Microsofts and the Apples and the Googles and the Amazons, which have lower PEs than a lot of the stuff she's in. And she's in a lot of stuff that is not even profitable yet. All right, so that's kind of how that dynamic works. You know, we had a little rally into the close, and then about an hour into the close, that rally dissipated, and it got really ugly in the last hour of the day. Today, the jury's still out. You know, I think we're at a point here. I have looked at enough stocks to get the general feeling that it's not a rally, a bounce to get too excited about as I look at individual stocks. Now, that may change during the day. It just seems like from here, where we're at right now, we're either going to see this rally gain steam or it will peter out throughout the day. It's too soon to tell. I don't think it's going to stay here. I think it's going to either rally or peter out. And right now, my guess is that it may rally from here. So we'll see, okay? I did nothing yesterday. No, I didn't just sit and twiddle my thumbs. I didn't do any buying or selling yesterday at all. Those panic days, you know, what are you going to do? You're just going to watch it and say, that's a lousy day. Why did I get out of bed this morning? But that was the way it goes, and it happens from time to time. Now, the big question is, the S&P has been going up for the last 12 years. From 2009 to 2021. I know I repeat myself on this a lot, but I like to put things in perspective and keep things in perspective. And the reason that S&P 500 has been going up for the last 12 years is because earnings of the S&P 500 have been going up for the last 12 years. So obviously, really, the key to all of this is, can earnings of the S&P 500 continue to go up next year, 2022, and the year after that, 2023. And the only way we have of even guessing at that right now, which isn't a bad way, it's by looking at the earnings expectations for next year and the year after that. That's a critical number that I look at. It's not the end all, but it is a critical number that I look at and revise my own numbers every single week. That's why it's so important to follow along with my macro outlook in my newsletter every week. That's in the basic. That's in the premium newsletter that I put out every Friday or Saturday. The premium newsletter doesn't have the portfolios in it, but it has that all-important macro outlook, my technical analysis of all of the different major asset classes, my sector rankings within the market, my top 300 stocks, and that newsletter, it's been $195 per year since I started it, I think. No inflation there, but that's a good way to stay on top of that macro outlook, unless you're a buy and holder and believe that you can buy and hold forever and own an index forever and just not worry about the little pullbacks in the market. I would say that depends upon your age. If you're 30, 40, 45, somewhere in there, you probably can take on that kind of a long-term outlook on the market. But if you're retired or getting ready to retire, that becomes a little bit more dangerous. A 45, 50, even a 75, 79% sell-off in the NASDAQ in the year 2000, well, you don't have the time to recover from a hit like that. And that's why I believe in active management, especially as you get older closer to or in retirement, I believe in active versus passive management. And don't forget, a 1 point rise in interest rates would also do some pretty severe damage to bond funds, okay? If you're holding your bonds to maturity, you don't have so much to worry about. But if you own bond funds, they are at the mercy. They are directly exposed to rising interest rates. And I've been repeating this week, what does well in a rising interest rate environment? Lenders, financials, banks, asset managers, insurance companies, okay? Those are the things that do well, and that's a good way to hedge against rising interest rates if you feel like they're going higher. Okay, well, what did we learn yesterday from Jay Powell, Janet Yellen? We've got a lot of deadlines coming up. They're very, very critical. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 21 years behind the mic, 21 years sitting here watching stocks go by and managing money professionally. I sent out several blurbs during the day to my clients that want to be notified and get those observations that I send out during the day. I also send out any buys or sells that I make. And I also send them out concurrently to my subscribers. That's the live trading subscription version for folks that like to manage their own money and need a little assistance. I charge $89 per month for that service. And you can find out more information on that at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. I'm busy going through the beta version of the new and improved Best Stocks Now app, which works like a charm for me. It points out the areas to avoid. I just checked all the major indexes during the break on what the app is saying about them. The one that is giving a sell signal, and it has been for a while, the emerging markets. That's, I use the Vanguard VWO as a proxy. And, of course, the emerging markets have a heavy smattering of Chinese stocks in them, and those Chinese stocks continue to look horrible, even though we're hearing from some value houses that they're nibbling at the Chinese stocks. You know what? I just don't want to get the Shanghai flu. They don't look good to me. All right, yesterday we had a lot of people testifying here and there and over there. Janet Yellen says October the 18th, the U.S. Treasury will exhaust all of the extraordinary measures that it has put forward to ride this cash crunch out and to preserve what cash they continue to have. I don't think the U.S. government's going to default. But there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing. There's going to be a lot of politics. There's going to be a lot of arm-twisting. There's going to be a lot of cigar-smoking in back rooms trying to figure out how to keep the government open. But something's got to give by October 18th. That's just a little over 2 weeks out. And of course, the quarter ends tomorrow. That's a big day. Really, I mean, we're not going to know for a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks from tomorrow when we start getting those earnings reports in. But, you know, if you want to put a death nail into the 12-year bull market that's been taking place since 2009, well, we had a few interruptions along the way, the year of COVID, but it came storming back from that. The bull's still intact after COVID at the end of last year. But having said that, you know, it's going to take another good earnings season. Those earnings estimates that are out there are going to have to be met. Now, last quarter, 85%, almost 90% of companies beat their earnings estimates. I'll keep you posted. That's another thing I do in the newsletter every week. I keep you posted on how the earnings season is going. And that's going to be a big, big factor in where we go from here. Now, of course, the Fed also spoke yesterday. He testified, Jay Powell, that dangerous man. That's what Senator Elizabeth Warren, she will not be voting to renominate Jerome Powell. Senator Elizabeth Warren calling him a dangerous man. Powell's term atop the central bank expires early next year, and he's thought to be cruising toward renomination by the Biden administration. Well, he's pretty much, you know, he hasn't really done anything. He's kept interest rates where they're at for a long, long time. We know that if interest rates, if the Fed was not doing this massive buying, I read that one-third of all of the asset purchases, basically our debt, the U.S. debt, one-third is being bought by the Fed. Okay, the other two-thirds, China has backed off big time. Japan is the biggest buyer outside of the Fed. Maybe they're even a little bigger than the Fed in buying that debt. And, of course, if they're going to keep spending, they got to keep borrowing, all right? And in addition to borrowing, there will have to be a change in fiscal policy. That wouldn't be good. You know, if we get a change in monetary policy, which should happen sometime next year, that means a hike in interest rates. And if we get a change in fiscal policy all at the same time, that could also put the nail in the coffin of the 12-year bull market. So that's why I just don't believe in passive investing. You got to be active, a little bit active. You've got to look. I mean, a case in point. Look what worked last year. I owned the ARK funds last year. I owned the ARKK and I owned the ARKW funds. But the interest rate spike earlier this year in February and March was much more drastic than the one that we've seen here over the last week or so. And I'm not saying that this one can't go back up and get to the levels that it did in February and March. But the first domino that it takes out are the companies trading at the highest multiples or the companies that have earnings, potential earnings, the furthest down the road. Because when you lower that discount rate, it's going to lower the valuation of those companies. And they're the first to fall. They're the first to get hit. And I don't think we're out of the woods, Kathy Woods, yet with those high PE, high, you know, speculative, way down the road potential earning stocks. I still think that that's a terrible place to be invested. I've been right so far. I mean, she continues to have outflows you know, write-ups in the Seeking Alpha almost on a daily basis. But she keeps doing the same thing. I mean, she's buying Peloton, which is a company that has earnings down the road. And when you change that discount rate on Peloton, that reins in the multiple quite a bit. And it lowers the future valuation quite a bit. And you're seeing that in the market here over the last week, and especially back in February and March. And those stocks haven't even begun to recover what they lost back then. Consumer confidence slips in September for the third month as Delta spreads. Okay, that's not good. The consumer, you know, has a big, wields a lot of clout in the economy. Mortgage applications, interesting to see, they're going up. 3.10 is what I see here. 30-year mortgage rates rose to 3.10 from 3.03. I bet they're higher than that now. I bet they're more up in the 3.15 range if you can qualify for that. The SEC is tightening SPAC accounting rules even more. Well, that's good. It's too bad they didn't do it a long time ago. A lot of these SPACs there were some low-quality SPACs. Very low quality, and that's going to come back to bite a lot of people at some point down the road. There's going to be if you're a securities attorney, you know, get ready to class action lawsuits against these SPACs. I can see it coming. Okay, when we come back, we got to talk about inflation, interest rates, and a lot of stocks. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I said that the rally was starting to gain some steam. Now it's losing steam. It's that going to be that kind of day where it's going to be a seesaw back and forth. It looked to me like when I first looked at a lot of individual stocks this morning, I said, you know, I don't see much moving higher, you know, like a point here, 2 or 3% there. That usually means that during the course of the day, the rally will run out of steam, okay? And then it started gaining steam. I thought, well, I could be wrong. But now I'm seeing the NASDAQ, which was up about 100. It was over 100. It's up 68 right now. So you got a tug of war going on after yesterday's big, big drubbing. Well, one thing that's helping today, crude oil is a big part of the inflation numbers. And why are the inflation numbers so important? Because that's what the Fed will be watching as far as when they finally pull the trigger on raising and hiking interest rates sometime mid to late next year. You know, there originally it was not going to be next year at all, but the dot plot in the Fed meeting last week moved that timeline forward a little. And that's why you saw the big jump in interest rates over the last several days. And that's why you've seen the big sell-off in the Dow and in the NASDAQ. And you can see from that how sensitive the market equities are to interest rates. And I would say that they're more sensitive than ever to interest rates because we're trading at such high multiples. And the Fed has created a situation where, you know, the market eventually it won't be able to withstand without quite a correction rising rates. They've kind of boxed into a corner, and yet they continue to keep rates low, and they continue to buy bonds in the open market to artificially keep rates low. But eventually rates are going to start going up. I mean, there's only so much firepower in the Fed's balance sheet, and they've already talked about tapering back on their buying, so they're interest rates are going to drift higher and eventually return to more of a normal area. New normal or the old normal? We don't know. So you can see that the vulnerability that there is in a market that's priced very, very high. But on the other side of that tug of war, you have earnings. And the CEOs of America, who have done a pretty darn good job maneuvering through the COVID year and maneuvering out of the COVID. Well, U.S. crude is having a big impact on the markets right now, and it has backed off. For the first week in 7 weeks, there was a rise in the U.S. crude supply. So that's probably impacting the market today more than anything. Chart Talk. This is in the Seeking Alpha today. ARK. ARKK and U.S. 10-year Treasury yield inversely correlated relationship. You can look at that. You can go to the Seeking Alpha website. Pretty interesting. You can see the direct, indirect, or the inverse correlation. That's the word. The inverse correlation between rising interest rates and on her highfalutin ARKK Innovation Fund, which has sold off wickedly since January of this year. Now, the reason I don't like Peloton, which is the one that she's been buying recently, everybody seems to be getting in on the act of having some kind of health or workout service, including Apple recently, Lululemon. Well, guess who announced yesterday that they're going to have their own? It's going to be called Halo Fitness. Amazon is getting into the fitness business. What business aren't they getting into? Their new $79.99 Halo View product gets you a year's worth of the Amazon Halo Fitness membership, which includes access to the tracker's full analytics package. A separate service called Halo Nutrition is also on the way. So, you know, take note, Peloton, Lulu, Planet Fitness, Exponential Fitness, XPOF, Amazon getting in on the act. Now, let's just look. Amazon did not have a very good day yesterday. It looks fine to me, however. It's sitting right on its 50-day moving. No, it's 200-day. Sitting right on its 200-day moving average. It is up 0.5% today. Now, what has been the winning strategy for the last 12 years, especially when the tech stocks sell off? To be a buyer. You've been right every time over the last 12 years if you've been a buyer of the tech stocks when they sell off. Well, here's someone that's weighing in today, Jim Breyer, founder and CEO of Breyer Capital. He's a venture capitalist, so he knows his tech stocks pretty well. He said Tuesday that he recommends buying the dips. When giant tech stocks like Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, Google, etc. sell off. Well, you know, that strategy has been a winning strategy for the last 12 years. I still think it's the right strategy. But there will come a time, maybe this is the beginning of that time, it's too soon to tell. You know, we've got a couple of dangerous events out there, a change in fiscal policy, which would be tax hikes, and a change in monetary policy coming at the same time. And what would that do to earnings? There's your triumvirate there. There's your triangle that you got to watch and keep your eye on. And you can throw in one more there that's going to be inflation, and the other one is interest rates. They're all going to react, positively or negatively, as one of those gyrates a little bit. Well, venture capitalist Jim Breyer says, I'm a buyer when big tech sells off. Now, I know a lot of people, they've sold big tech every time it sold off over the last 12 years. That's not a winning strategy. It would also be a winning strategy to get out of the way if we get another NASDAQ sell-off of 79%. Hopefully, you don't wait till it's down 79% to sell, which a lot of people did back in the year 2000. Hopefully, we get some good signals and some lowering expectations in the earnings field, and we start to get some serious tax hikes, and the economy starts to slow down and top out and stagnate, and inflation stays persistent. So those are all of the different portions of the formula, the recipe, that'll be part of the next bear market. And so all we can do is stay vigilant. India aims to make its own COVID-19 mRNA vaccine by the end of the year. You know, this mRNA technology is quite a breakthrough. Let's hope it's a good one. Let's hope it doesn't have long-term side effects that we don't know about, because we did go pretty quickly in approving these vaccines. They're going to use this mRNA technology for flu vaccines in the future and looking at other vaccines for other maladies. Well, there's a certain portion of the population that will not get the vaccine. United Airlines set to fire 593 employees who refused the vaccine. Well, United has said, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't work for us. 97% of its U.S. employees have been vaccinated, the other 3% will be terminated. Okay, let's see what else we got here going on. Oh, the state of the bond market. You know, interest rates have gone up, but they've gone up hardly any at all. When you look at a historic perspective, you're still getting paltry returns or paltry coupon rates. I was looking at Analog Devices. They price a senior note offering. You go out, let's see, how many years here? You go out 10 years, 20 years. They're offering a 20-year 2.8%. I would wait. I think you'll be getting better rates down the road at some point in time. But that's the current state of the bond market. A 10-year note, you're getting 2.1%, which is just 60 basis points above U.S. Treasuries to loan money to Analog Devices, a chip maker. Okay, big news in the electronic vehicle. We're going to be watching that sector going forward. There's a few big players emerging here. Lucid is definitely one of them. Why? Their first EV came off the assembly line yesterday. There's a picture of it on Seeking Alpha. It's a beautiful car. Look out, Tesla. Lucid will begin deliveries in late October. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has gathered a little steam. What a tug of war. I'm getting a neck ache just looking back and forth. The Dow is up 235 right now, and the NASDAQ's up 100. Okay. Woo. What a seesaw battle taking place today. Of course, you get a rally, and then people sell the rally. And then when they've sold the rally enough, then they come in and buy the rally or the sell-off. It's crazy. Intraday volatility. Well, three stocks catch my eye here today. You're going to get three, count them, three for the price of one. I mentioned Lucid. You know why? Lucid's got a real product, okay? And this is a $44 billion market cap company. This is one of the SPACs that actually had a quality product. Lucid is expected to be a pretty big player in the electric vehicle market, which, you know, it's probably going to start ramping higher. I think rising oil, rising gasoline prices, probably going to push people to look a little harder, and you're going to have more choices than you had before. You know, Tesla's not the cheapest stock or the cheapest car out there. I know there's the little Chevy Volt, and others have theirs, but, you know, people still want to drive a nice car, and you're going to have a lot to choose from here. Whether it's from Ford, whether it's from GM, whether it's from Ferrari, whether it's from Tesla, Lucid, those seem to be the big player. Toyota's getting in on the act. Those seem to be the big players right now. And the Lucid's kind of out there, kind of, you know, maybe second place behind Tesla, even though they don't have a car out there on the road yet. But October, they are now rolling off the assembly line, and that's a pretty good chart on Lucid. LCID. LCID. So we'll make that one of our featured stocks of the day. Number two, just to stick with the oil theme, because it's going to be a long transition. Unless government really steps in to speed up the process of getting us away from the carbon fossil fuels. Comstock Resources, CRK, is a small cap oil and natural gas exploration company with their reserves primarily in Texas and Louisiana, which seem to be a couple of favorable states to be drilling in. I think the Williston Basin, maybe, of course, Pennsylvania and Ohio, etc. Those may come under a little more regulatory pressure. Comstock's basically in Texas for the most part. CRK, rising in rank. It has an A-plus momentum grade right now. It has shot up. It's now 49% above its pivot point, which happened about a month ago. That's the breakout point. And it is rising rapidly in momentum. And let's see what its overall ranking is in the Best Stocks Now app right now. 262. It was 2,806 4 weeks ago. And now it's 262. So that catches my eye, Comstock Resources. And then one last one here is a UK company which had just a phenomenal earnings report yesterday. This is one I actually own in my emerging growth portfolio, Endava, which went public in 2018. The symbol is DAVA, D-A-V-A, D-A-V-A. It's a UK-based company who provides software engineering, cloud transformation, test automation, and technology consulting. Those seem to be all the right places at the right time. This quarter that they reported yesterday, their sales were up 65%, but more importantly, their earnings doubled over the same quarter last year. They've had two knockout quarters in a row of earnings growth. And Dava, which has been under pressure over the last couple of weeks, that's brought the ranking down, but the stock never broke technical support, so I continue to own it. And then they had the big report yesterday. I hope to see this stock bounce higher and move on to new all-time highs. We'll see. No guarantees there. Dava, D-A-V-A. So those are the three that catch my eye today. I don't make recommendations. I just, you know, these are stocks that meet my criteria from a technical point of view, future valuation point of view, and a momentum slash performance point of view. All right. Well, today a little bit better than yesterday, obviously. Yesterday, very just a massive wipeout in the market, which to my eyes was an overreaction. Interest rates have not gone up that much. We're talking 25 basis points off of the recent low, maybe 30 basis points, 25 to 30 basis points. I don't think the market deserved to sell off like it did, but you know, when that panic begins, panic begets panic. And it's not good to get caught up in the panic. And it's also not good to get caught up in the greed going up either. You have to kind of stay in the middle somewhere with your emotions. Panic and greed are two very powerful emotions that you got to somehow control to get through these daily gyrations in the market. Well, you know, subscribing to my services or just turning it over to somebody else is another way to handle that, trying to get through these daily gyrations, not to worry about them so much, or to get a little bit of guidance from somebody who's been doing it for a long time. You can start with my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Weekly newsletter. It's pretty thorough. I'm just warning you. It's a buffet. You can pick and choose. You can go right to the, you know, the crab legs if you want, which is the macro outlook and the portfolios. Or you get a little bit of everything, you know, sample a little bit of everything, because it's the most important information to be on top of every week in the market. Now, if you'd like to just talk to one of my advisors here and get on board with us, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. We run a virtual office. You don't have to drive downtown, fight traffic, fight over a parking place, come back, you got a ding in the side of your car, and then you get stuck with a $15 parking fee. No, you know, just give us a call at 855-611-BEST or contact us through GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.